Denny, you came to the area here up lake in 1945. Why did you come here to start with?
Well, I came a little before the 45 to hunt. If you know what year that school bus run in the lake, I was here the fall before that.
Okay.
Because I know we were quite interested back in Seattle, and I heard about that bus run in the lake, and we'd just been here.
Yeah.
Did you decide to move here because
of the... not for two or three years. We stayed at Cascade Creek for a week during hunting season. I did that for about 3 years, I think. It was 47 before I came to stay.
What was Cascade Creek like there? I spent part of my honeymoon there.
It was almost just like it is now. Just, well, I guess they modernized that cabin some, but...
Did you know somebody that allowed you to use the cabin, or did you...
Yeah. George La Chapelle owned it then.
Tell us about him. I've read a little bit about him. What kind of guy was he?
Well, he was all right. I didn't know him, but a fellow worked with me at the shop did. He came from Chelan, Burl Higley. He was raised in Chelan, and he knew George. He fixed it up for us to use the cabin.
And you could just kind of come and go and use it as you pleased?
Well, we just, during hunting season, we just stayed there for a week.
You were working for, what was it, Pacific?
Yeah, Pacific Car and Foundry at that time.
What doing?
Oh, it was always in the mechanical. I was mostly sheet metal work then. But I did machine work and welding, too.
What?
Always metal work, anyway.
What prompted you move to the Up Lake area?
Well, I was single, and by that time I had no family, so I didn't see why I needed to work all the time.
So you just, this is more or less a place to get away?
Yeah, I just come up here and work when I wanted to. And
how old were you then?
Gosh, I don't know. I was born in 1909.
You must have been 30, what, 40 years old, somewhere in there?
Or less. I wasn't any more than that anyway.
Did, just the lifestyle?
Yeah. I got tired of Seattle and the traffic and whatnot. It didn't make sense to me to go through that every day to go to work.
The move up here then, at that point in time, you probably didn't have a whole bunch of stuff to move here, and you were...
No.
What'd you do when you came here?
Well, we bought into Meadow Creek first. There were three families of us.
Three families that moved to the Up Lake area?
Seattle to Meadow Creek.
No kidding. Who?
Greens and Parcher and myself.
Who are these people? These are new names.
Well, Green is my brother-in-law and my sister. Parcher is not in the country anymore. He didn't stay. But
did you operate Meadow Creek as then a resort?
Yeah, we did.
What was there then? Is the same facility?
Same as now.
What kinds of things did you do there? What was your job?
Well, we were all just trying to keep everything going, everything patched up and working. That's about it.
That was during the mining days?
Yeah, the mine was going, yeah, sure. But we had nothing to do with them. See, we'd...
Was your business at all dependent on miners?
Not at all, no.
Just strictly...
Resort.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things did you do for promotion? How did you get people to come to Meadow Creek?
Well, we had the usual brochures, but mostly it's word of mouth. Whether you get people to come back or not, or whether you don't.
In that era, I hear some interesting tales talking to you and a few others of some stories about nightlife up lake and those kinds of things. I guess probably the good question would be, what did you do for entertainment?
Well, there really wasn't anything then that there isn't now.
Did you go to Stehekin upon
it? They were mostly families that come, you know.
But what did you as a single man do? I mean, what was there to do up lake?
Well, very little. I was only over there about a year, and then I came over here to Helton for few days, and I wound up being here for better than 2 years.
And by here, of course, you know, this is the Lucerne area. What'd you do to come? What?
That was in the mine. The mine was still running, and I drove the bus to Holden.
And you did that for a couple of years then? Mm-hmm.
This place was full of miners then, every cabin. There was nothing, no resort business here or whatever.
The mining days up here had to be a fairly exciting era from what I've been able to read and those kinds of things. Was it a good job, and what kinds of things were going on here, I guess?
Well, yeah, every cabin was full all the time because there's even a waiting list for cabins because everything at Holden was filled up. There were no vacancies.
We'll go back to what sort of things did people do for social life then? What happened?
Well, I tell you, all the social life was in the tavern.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. We partied upon occasion in the tavern together. The tavern at Lucerne, I'm assuming you're talking about?
Yeah, they never had anything like that at Holden.
How come?
Well, I guess it was just against the rules or something. I don't know who made the rules, but...
just the existence up here had to be, and still is, it's a hard existence. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess it is.
The uplake existence and being hard. Why would that be attractive to you? To live here, and can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of just the experiences?
Oh, I never had any great experiences here, but the weather was just so much different from Seattle that I kind of liked it, really.
Do you then enjoy the snow and the...
Yeah, you bet. It's not bad. The weather is never extremely cold, never too hot.
Okay, from Meadow Creek, you went to Lucerne.
Yeah.
Here you had some, and I don't know about the time frame, but you had some things to do with the initial installation of power here.
Yeah, I did put in the pipeline over here.
Your initials, I don't know if there are still there, but they were welded into the pipe.
Yeah, that's all I had to do. It was really put in the pipe.
What time frame are we talking about? When was this?
Well, that must have been, the date was on the pipe, but it was about 1950, I think, when it was.
What did they do for power here before then?
Well, we had the same generator up here in this old tool shed that we ran with the diesel motor.
So the same generator was
just
coupled
over there, yeah.
Was coupled to just a different
diesel motor.
Mm-hmm. And you were in on moving that and that kind of thing, or?
Yeah, well, they bought that turbine and the generator up at Republic, I think, when they put electrification in up there, and they didn't need their own power plant anymore.
Why? Why did they decide to go to hydropower here, you know? Who owned the resort then?
Renslow.
Who was that?
Leonard Renslow? Well, he's a guy I worked for here. He's a nice fella, nice family, too.
I'm gonna kind of jump some time here, but from what I've read and been able to experience here, Lucerne Resort, as we know it, over a period of time, as I know it, has really gone downhill. It's obviously being destroyed right now.
Yeah.
Why? What happened?
Well, it just wasn't a success when the mine closed. There was just nothing left.
Well, CERN was totally existent on the mine.
Yeah. Financially, anyway, because, the people that lived here, the mine paid their bus fare, so they didn't have to pay their way back and forth to work.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between Lucerne's demise and Meadow Creek, which was then a going business? You were later involved in Moores. Those were going businesses. How come Lucerne?
Well, Lucerne just couldn't make the jump from the mine to resort, I guess. It must have been it. And Meadow Creek was not really a going concern because it was too short a season.
Uh-huh. How long?
That's partly why I was over here, because there was three of us over there and there wasn't enough for three of us. So I wound up over here.
When did you get to meet Gordon Stewart?
Well, probably almost as soon as we got here.
Do you remember him in the late 40s?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was he like?
Well, not much different from now. But I always got along fine with him.
There, in that era, with miners here and apparently tourism over on the other side of the lake, in the area that you were from at that time, Meadow Creek, did you come over here for, or when you were at Moore's even, did you come here to Lucerne for activity, social life, to go to the tavern, dance, do whatever?
Yeah, Gordon and I used to meet here once a week at the tavern when I was up at Moore. This place changed hands, see, when Renslow sold out. And then I thought it was a good chance for me to get out, too. So I went back to Seattle and worked for a year or so, year and a half, I guess, at Renton. Then I decided again I didn't like it over there. I had a chance to go to Moore, so I come back here to there.
Okay. I wasn't aware you went out for that period of time. When was that?
Oh, it must have been 51 or 52.
You go back at Pacific?
Yeah, I went back to Pacific Car and worked for a year and a half. Then I had a chance to get interested in Moore up there, so I moved back again and stayed here that time.
Still single, still still kicking around.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Moore's. How did you have the opportunity? How did the opportunity come about that you were...
Well, the guy that bought it to start with, John Wiley, and he didn't really have any luck running the resort for some reason. So my brother-in-law and I bought half of it from him. Mm-hmm. With the understanding we'd operate it, which we did up until the fire burned it down.
How long?
57.
Okay, that was, so 51 or 2 through 57? Is that
yeah.
Right? Okay. Again, did you run into the short season problems or those kinds of things?
Well, yeah, but that was strictly a resort and always was, so it did better than most of them. We had regular customers, some of them been coming there for 30 years. Come back every summer and stay all summer. There wasn't any overnight business much.
You weren't at all dependent on the mine and its operation
no,
being here?
No, not at all. No.
Would occasional miners come over to party or
very,
do whatever?
No, very few.
What was at Moore's? I've seen some pictures. What was there?
Well, nothing really except the inn and cabins. And old-time customers, that was the main thing. Old man Hubbard that had it before told me that if you have to advertise a place, there's something wrong with it.
Wouldn't do very well in our business. What was your job? What did you do primarily?
Well, the maintenance work. And see, we had our own power plants there, and there was lots of work.
Someplace along the line you did some packing, is that right?
Well, yeah, later on. But then we built a swimming pool there, which took a couple of years' work.
Had to be sad for you to see that swimming pool pushed in.
Yeah.
What happened to it?
Well, they just pushed it in and dosed the gravel over it.
How long did it take you to build that?
Well, I was a couple of years on that. We put it in one spring and then, we got it actually working in one year, but the next year it was a lot of sidewalk and stuff to put on it. Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy that business?
Oh, yeah. I always like that kind of work anyway, to build something.
Yeah. Did you like the tourist business?
Yeah, I got along fine with the people there. Yeah.
Didn't they at, when you were at Moore's, they used to have some horses and those kinds of things? Was that
Well, we had a couple of old horses, but it was just for kids to play with. We didn't do any packing or anything from there.
What happened with the fire? Fire, what happened?
Well, I wasn't even home then when that burned down. At the time, I was working with Guy Imus over on the packing the deer hunters in Fish Creek. And the fellow and his wife that were working there, he come over to camp at Fish Creek to tell us the place burnt down and his wife was dead. And sure enough, he was right.
What started the fire?
Well, nobody knows it. They agree it started in the kitchen, whether they left a rag hanging by the stove or something, I don't know. Never will, I guess.
Yeah. Hmm. How big a facility was it? How much stuff was there? The only time I've seen some pictures, but everything was gone when I moved this area.
Well, we had about a dozen rooms in the main building. Big dining room and lobby. Workshop in the basement. Then there was probably a half a dozen cabins. There were no cooking facilities in the cabins. Everybody just ate in the dining room.
What did it cost to stay there?
Well, it was not much compared to today. I don't know why, but probably for $6 a day you could stay there and eat three times a day.
Jenny, after the fire, how come Moore's was not rebuilt?
Because it would cost a fortune. For one thing.
Was it insured?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, it was insured for enough to pay it off. So.
So all the
we just wound up with the place. And
the outstanding debts were paid.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then ultimately, the ownership changed to apparently the government. You sold to the Forest Service.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't tell it to anybody else.
Let's talk about Moore's a little bit. There is a phenomenal amount of handwork that's still evident there that
yeah.
was done on the waterfront and whatnot.
Yeah, it was. Well, all those individual cabins, they were all lined up down below where it's flooded now in a long kind of a barracks or dormitory deal. They just cut them up in pieces they could move and moved them up above high water.
Yeah. The rocks you see now when the lake is low, are their old foundations?
Yeah, that rock wall, yeah, that sat on top of that, I think.
Hmm. Who did that work?
I don't know.
There's a phenomenal amount of work that was
yeah,
done.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. After Moore's burned, where did you go? What happened to you?
Well, I just stayed there to look after the place until they could do something with it.
And that's when the Forest Service bought it?
Yeah.
From there, then what happened?
Well, then I moved down below because by then Schwartz had bought this place down below.
Okay. And you're living now on property that's owned by Dr. Schwartz.
Yeah.
Who's he?
Well, he's an ear, nose, and throat doctor in North Seattle.
The house you've been building there, you were working on it when I first met you, which was 10 or 12 years ago now. What are you doing for him, and how come it's taken so long to build a house?
Well, it's a lot of work, and most of the time I was working by myself. He bought a lot of equipment. We got lots of equipment to work with. But
you spent what, 3 years just doing the foundations?
I guess. I'm sure we did. Well, we spent 1 year just digging a hole to put the basement in.
You apparently must thrive on that kind of work. That you must enjoy working by yourself and figuring out how to do it by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm used to working by myself pretty much.
How do you put a house together that requires a glue limb beam 3 stories up out here where there's no way to get 3 stories up? It's just a lot of work.
Well, I'd get all the pieces cut up, and then when help comes in over the weekend, then we put it together.
Where did you learn to, apparently at Pacific, you learned to do welding and...
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to school once to learn welding.
Talk about
a long time ago.
Talk about your education. What kind of education?
Practically none. No, I did go to high school a couple of years.
You're very proficient at metal work, woodwork, those kinds of things. Where'd you?
Mostly metal work. I never worked at carpenter work at all.
Well, you're sure.
Only
you...
some kind of mechanical work.
Where did you get that background?
Well, just from experience more than any formal education.
What? Okay.
I got involved in welding because in those days, well, I was about in 29 and 30 when we were making about $4 an hour as metal workers, the welders were getting about $6 because they were at a union.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, the thing for me to do is I'll just go to school. But so I did that, but by the time I got through, well, we were making as much as they were, so there was no point in changing jobs. But.
Listening to you talk about Seattle and that area when you lived, watching you play pool upon occasion, which has only been once or twice in 12 or 13 years, you've probably seen a pool table, and I happen to be around anyway. You're probably a streetwise kid.
Oh, I guess so, yeah. We used to have a pool hall at Burien there. About once a week, we would get together and play pool. But.
How do you do that? How do you shift gears? How do you change from Seattle, Western Washington, to what a lot of people would call wilderness? How do you do that?
Oh, I don't know. It isn't hard.
What do you do? What, right now, given what you're doing, what's your average day? What do you do? What do you do on an average day right now?
Well, just get enough wood and stuff to survive. That's what I've been doing for a month, getting wood split up for the winter.
Do you keep current on affairs outside and how?
Oh, yeah, with the radio and Time magazine.
Is that adequate for you? Apparently it must be.
Well, I get a Seattle paper. Keep pretty good track of what's going on.
You're a person that, in my opinion, having known you for a while, you're fairly well read. You stay abreast of current affairs. I think you have some investments.
Yeah.
And know, you know, what's going on. Is that difficult up here? Do you have to concentrate on doing those kinds of things, or is that just come because you got time?
Yes. No, I don't concentrate on it. It just comes pretty easy.
Didn't you had not been down lake since I've known you until 2 weeks ago, maybe three.
Yeah.
How come?
Well, I had nothing to go for. I used to keep horses, see. So twice a year I had to go to town. We'd take the horses out in the fall and put them in the pasture, and in the spring, we go get them back again.
Do you miss at all that?
No, not much. No, not at all, really. It's interesting to see the changes in town, but still there's no big changes. A lot of stores over there aren't there anymore, but the building is, and somebody else has got some kind of a store in there.
Yeah. Talk about some of the people you remember up and down Main Street. What kind of changes you remember? Who? Personalities?
Oh, there are some of the fellows I used to run into all the time in the tavern, and they're dead. George Sayers, you might know him.
Remember the name?
Yeah, I remember him. I used to see him all the time when I go down there. Somebody told me this trip, he's not there anymore.
In 13 or 14 years, 12 or 13, whatever it was, you haven't been down like, as you look on the experience of going down, what major changes do you see? What's the most significant thing?
Well, most of the changes are up in Manson and all those new condominiums and stuff. That was just barren hillside.
Yeah. What do you think of all that?
Well, it's all right. Yeah, it's...
Well, people ever call you a hermit?
Probably.
Well, how would you answer them? Do you enjoy being around other people? You must. You were in the resort business.
It wouldn't bother me at all.
Okay. Where did Friday Night Club come from?
Well, that was Gordon and I used to have a habit of being. I'd come over here every Friday and he'd come down the hill. I think it started out it wasn't Friday. It used to be on Mondays for some reason. Come over here. But that was when the mine was still running. We'd come down here and spend the afternoon in the tavern. Then he'd go home and I'd go home. After the mine closed down, well, then we got to spend the night over here at Geddes. And then it was on Friday. Gordon had to come down to get his mail in the winter and some groceries, whatever he had to have.
Was that the mine's closed, all the people are gone.
Yeah.
Up Lake looks like nobody's ever been here before. Yeah. It's ghost town.
Yeah.
Was that a hard period? There were two or three of
you. It wasn't for us, but it was for the people who were trying to make a resort out of this.
Yeah. Huh. Do you miss that mining era? Do you miss the era of going to Stehekin on Friday nights to gamble on the boat that went up there and then come back on Saturday or those kinds of things?
I didn't do that. Gordon talks about that. But that was before my time.
Do you miss those things?
No.
There was a lot of activity up here once.
Yeah, I guess there was.
Mm. Well, weren't you? You were here when a lot of that was going on. Probably a full 10 years before the mine closed down. After you'd been here, anyway.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of gambling at Holden's. That was a big deal up there. Well, I never got involved in it.
Tell us about Guy Amos. You were involved with him from a business standpoint for a while.
Yeah, he had a batch of horses and I had some and we just worked together. And I enjoyed that pack and it's all right as long as you go, keep going different places all the time. It's kind of interesting.
Did you get bored with it after a while?
Hmm?
Did you get bored with it after a while?
Well, you do when you go to the same place day after day. Hunting season was the worst, and we just ride up and down Fish Creek every day. You get tired of that. Might as well be driving a bus.
up and down to the mine every day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay. Okay, you weren't here during that period, but were there some folks up here involved in making whiskey, even maybe even past Prohibition?
Not that I know of, because it was after Prohibition when I came here.
You ever heard of any stills up Lake?
No. No, I haven't. No.
What are your thoughts today when you walk, and I know you already have today, through Lucerne? Lucerne used to be the place.
Yeah, it's kind of discouraging. I hate to see it. I don't know what they built up to replace what they're tearing down. It looks hopeless.
Do you... It's almost like, at least to me, it's because Lucerne was my first love when I came up Lake, but it's almost like they're tearing down your house or your home.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah, a little bit.
What went wrong? How come?
Well, the people, must have been a half a dozen people tried to make a resort and make it go, but it didn't work. I don't know why.
Let's talk a little bit back to Friday Night Club when I first got to know you. You and Gordon got together, had a winter-long cribbage game.
Yeah. Yeah, we play every Friday.
You had one particular weekend that I remember, at least I remember hearing about, that you dumped a boat over between here and home. Is that right?
Yeah, well, right here on this breakwater they had built. Well, they had some logs tied across there, yeah.
What happened?
Well, I just run into those logs.
What time of year was that?
Well, it was in the winter. I don't.
And what happened from there?
Well, nothing really, except I got sopping wet.
Well, that's the wrong time of year to get sopping wet.
Well, actually, it was warmer than the air was.
Fairly comfortable in the water. Who does your doctoring up here? Who takes care of you when you cut yourself? What happens? Who cuts your hair?
Well, we cut our own.
What about?
Well, Oscar had some clippers over here, and once in a while, we'd go and get them out and trim each other's hair up.
Tell me about Oscar Getty. What kind of guy was he?
Oh, he was quite a character. He was all right. He got along fine with us.
I heard stories about him shuffling in and out of houses at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning hunting for a drink or whatever it is. Apparently,
well, I guess he did, yeah.
You don't know? You don't remember those kinds of things?
No, I never had that happen when I was around.
What do you remember best about Oscar?
He used to have some pretty good parties when Mona wasn't here.
Who is Mona?
That's his wife.
Oh, we're sitting in her cabin. As a matter of fact, this is her old cabin. Moved a little ways, but... Tell us about him. Tell us about the couple. Tell us about their experiences, your experiences with him.
Well, about the best yarn I know about him was when there was Gordon and I were here, but we were staying down in one of these cabins. He had people up there, Dugan, I don't know if you know him, down in Chelan, but they all got drunk. Dugan used to, or Oscar used to, had no water in the winter, so he had a pump. He'd pump his bathtub full of water to flush the toilet. What not? One night Dugan fell in the bathtub, splashing around in there.
Had to save somebody from the bathtub. Where you live now, you have a shop that's part of your home in a house?
Yeah.
What kind of conveniences do or don't you have? You have electricity.
Well, we've got electricity, but it's a diesel plant. We only use it when we want to run saws or something like that, not for lights. I use Coleman lantern and kerosene.
How do you get your mail? How do you get your groceries, those kinds of things?
Well, I order the groceries by mail, and then it comes up on the following boat.
A lot of folks down lake don't... Is there some... Are you more prone to keep a lot of things on hand just because you might need them?
Well, I try to get all the heavy stuff in the fall. You know, sugar and flour and stuff that's hard to pack up the hill in case I have to pack it up.
Talk a little bit about that.
I've got a dozer, so I plow the road out when... I try to do it on the day I got groceries coming, too, so... But I can just pack it on the bulldozer to take it up the hill.
Okay, so your grocery shopping might involve sending down a note a week ahead of time, plowing snow the week following.
I order Monday and it'll come on Wednesday. Just miss one day.
In the intervening period, if there's a snowfall or something like that, you've got to plow yourself a trail. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you, I know when the big boat comes up lake and they stop at your house, and you're down there on the dock to get your mail or whatever, you're almost somewhat of a tourist attraction. Does that bother you?
Yeah. There's a whole row of people are on the front of the boat with their cameras.
Does that bother you at all?
Not at all. I think it's taking a picture of the dog, aren't they?
part of livelihood up here, at least from what I've known of you and Denny both, is your pups, your dogs. They in essence are your buddies and companions.
They're... In fact, they're our boss, really. Aren't you, Sandy? Yeah.
For people who don't know you, I've heard you, I've heard Gordon, both described as being a mountain men, hermits, antisocial, all those things. Any of that true? Any of that true at all?
No, but it's probably a good story for the tourists anyway.
You must enjoy people.
Oh yeah, sure.
Does it get to a point sometimes when you haven't seen someone else in a month or two or 3 months or whatever it is? Does that bother you?
No, I never bothered with being lonesome. I probably would be if I didn't have anything to do, but there's always something I can do.
What do you do for right now, your age, your time in life? What do you do when you want to do something?
Well, I can always wash my windows and sweep. That always needs doing.
Do you go anywhere? You've been to Stehegan? When's the last time you were at Stehegan?
Oh, gosh, I haven't been to Stehegan since the park took it over.
No reason to go back? No, you don't want to?
Well, there's nobody there I know anymore, except maybe Imus's wife.
You apparently feel the same way about downtown.
Yeah. Oh, I know the Campbells down there. And that's probably about all. Even Deacon's not in the liquor store anymore, you know.
The people you get to know by mail, you order things, you do it by mail. When you go down lake, do you want to go meet those people, or does it?
Well, I did go and introduce myself to the manager at Safeway, just so he'd know who he's sending the groceries up lake to.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some stories that I've heard about up lake. You weren't here when Old Man Cool was.
No, I wasn't.
You've heard stories. What?
One of my neighbors knew him, a neighbor in Seattle. He was an old man, gosh, when I knew him, and he said he was up to Domkey Lake in 1905 and stayed with Old Man Cool.
What did you say about him?
Well, he liked him very much, but then he was a retired doctor, this old Fred Shepard. And he went up there during the war. He was going up and visit Old Man Cool, and when he got to Chelan, he found out he was dead.
What? I want to go back and a couple other questions struck me before we talk about some stories. During the mining days, when you were working for the House on Mining folks, what was your day like? What was it like up here?
Well, in the winter, sometimes it was tough. I stayed in an old cabin down here that is torn down. And every morning, I had to take a bus up the hill at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'd go out on the porch, and there'd be 6-8 inches of new snow on the porch. And I still have to go up the hill and take those guys to work, the day shift. And most of the time we made it, too. We went before the mine went to work. We had to leave here at 6 o'clock, and they hadn't even been down the hill yet with anything. So we had to get up the hill on our own.
That road today even is pretty treacherous in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
Then it was plowed out, obviously, and whatnot, but you still had to contend with
it. They never plow it right to the gravel, though, because they don't want to scrape the gravel off the road. They scrape it down, but there'll still probably be 3 or 4 inches of ice there. They just scrape the loose snow off.
Mm-hmm. How big a bus are you talking about?
Oh, we had a big GMC, which was the best one, and then we had a Ford, which was a lot newer, but then the GMC would go and the Ford wouldn't. We never used chains. We had, at that time, sawdust tires. And I've seen a time when I could go up the hill with that GMC when the Ford wouldn't even come down.
Okay. How many people were up here then?
I think there was 50 families lived here.
At Lucerne?
Mm-hmm.
At Gettysville? Here.
And over there, too.
And the resort.
Every cabin was full over there. I think there was 50.
Supporting that many people around, they couldn't keep running water. They probably didn't have electricity to start with, at least all the time.
Well, they did over there. We had this diesel plant seat that we kept going all the time, but there was none hooked up over here. Oscar had a portable plant, but he only run it on wash days or something, so he could run the wash machines. And he wasn't able to keep water because this creek line wouldn't keep going.
What would me as a miner, what would I pay for rent up here?
Gosh, I don't even remember. It might have been $40 a month, I don't know.
Was the resort entirely dependent on the mine?
Yeah, it really wasn't any resort because there were no vacant cabins either.
Was it a little bit wild up here now and again? Wild in the drunken miners, dances, yahas, and those kinds of things going on.
Boy, things used to get a little out of hand at the tavern on Saturday nights.
There were kids born up here.
Yeah. Well, in fact, there was triplets born here once. Paul Swift's wife had triplets.
Who did the doctoring?
Well, in that case, Brenda Getty did it. She was a nurse.
Good. Day-to-day sorts of things were...
Well, they had a doctor at Holden, see, for...
Mm-hmm. A school there, still do, have a school, they had a school at Lucerne.
Yeah, and a school at Holden.
As you walk around here, half of it's being torn down. Half of it's still intact, and a bunch of boat club members are cabin holders or whatever. Is it a little overwhelming to you? Does it bother you?
Oh, it don't bother me because it's inevitable, I guess. That school up there, my sister had three kids that went through grammar school up there.
That was my first cabin up lake, is that school.
Oh.
It bothers me to be, I go up by it now and there's nothing there, it's torn down. And that really bothers me.
I taught school there for a time, but it seems to me that Emmeline Douglas taught while I was living over here. Her husband was the crane chaser on the dock over there. They had a house right over there close to the dock.
There were some structures over by the dock?
Hmm?
There were some structures, houses over by the dock?
Yeah. Well, just this side of the dock. The Swiss lived in it when they were logging here.
Okay, that brings up a whole bunch of other questions. Who are the Swiss loggers?
Well, I knew most of them were here. And they told me that before they came to this country, they were logging in Scotland. You wouldn't think there'd be a tree left in Scotland.
They're apparently very efficient loggers.
I think so, yeah. Hard workers.
They did some overhead stuff? How did they get their trees out?
Well, they had an overhead cable. Gordon and I took Gordon up there one day to watch them. They got that overhead line, and they can run that carriage up there and stop it where they want it stopped, and then they can pull their chokers clear out to one side in either direction. Well, I don't know how far, but they could pull the logs up, pull them up to this carriage, and then they could release the carriage and they go right down to the road by gravity. Works like a whistle.
And in essence, down to the lake then? And
yeah, I truck them down to the lake and dump them in.
When you were down lake a couple weeks ago, we took you to the mill site, went past the mill site. You remember the old mill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I cut logs over here and sent them down to them a couple of years.
Were you working for them or just sort of independent?
Well, it was sources of logs, but I was just working by myself.
Yeah. What was it like up here? Okay, tell me where, from a time frame standpoint, where did the mine stop and where did the mill start, or did they come together there for a period of time? Did you have both things going on for time, lumbering and the mill, mine?
No, they didn't really log up there until the mine was closed down.
How did Holden? There was quite a period of time there after the mine closed down, before the church got Holden. Everything stayed intact, pretty much.
Yeah.
How come?
Well, they stripped out and sold everything, all the machinery that would be saleable. Oh, even rails or any steel, anything they could ship out at a profit, they did. But there was a company that specialized in that came in and did that.
You remember with the day they closed the mine down?
Yeah, because they announced it a couple of months ahead of time, I guess, that by a certain date she was closing.
Was that a tough day?
It was. A good many of the fellas just left. They just started leaving wholesale then, but I think they paid extra money for guys that would stay right till the last day.
Yeah. And were you still working for the mine then?
No, I never did work for the mine. I just worked for the people that owned this place.
Oh, okay. The people that owned Lucerne then hired you. You were the bus driver for the Lucerne.
Yeah, I had
nothing to do with the mine.
Nothing to do with the mine.
Oh, okay.
But there were a couple owners after that before the mine really closed. I think the place changed hands a couple of times before the mine finally closed down.
So you went from Moore's to bus?
Well, I came over here from Meadow Creek, and then I went back to Seattle, and then I went to Moore.
Okay. Then what happened?
Well, that's it. That's where I stayed.
Moore's burned, and you're where you are today.
Yeah.
Huh. What? If you were to... would you be able to come here today, now, and have the same sort of future now here up lake as you did when you moved here in 1945?
I know.
Is there room for newcomers?
Well, there's room, but you better have some means of support before you come.
You didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't come here broke.
But it was from income that you derived at your job and whatnot, and you had some savings.
Yeah,
and those kinds of
things. I sold three houses over there.
I see. So you came here because you liked the lifestyle and the pace?
Not really, because I thought I was going to make a living. But.
Did you feel you had to go to work? Have you had to work?
Well, yeah, I'd rather work as far as that goes, yeah.
Have you had to work?
Well, I'd have to work some, but I wouldn't have to work all the time.
Mm-hmm. The last couple of years, you aren't working all the time anymore.
No. No, it doesn't matter if I work at all anymore.
From a financial standpoint?
Yeah.
Okay. The job you're on now, you're building a residence for a doctor. You're caretaker of some property. I remember 12 or 13 years ago when I first met you, you told me that the job was going to take 10 years.
Yeah, well, it'll probably, might be going on for another 10 already. Although, but he likes to work at that too. He's got more time now than he used to have. So.
I don't think many people have the patience you have to be able to... How many yards of concrete did you pour by hand?
Gosh, I don't know. I lost track of how many sacks of cement they hauled up.
Hundreds, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Does that bother? Did that bother you? Get up in the morning, have to go pour mud, no one around, no one to appreciate it. And
no, it never bothered me because I didn't have to. Only in that phase of it, I'd spend a week or two building forms, and then two or three guys would come up on the weekend and we'd fill up with concrete. And then I'd build some more farms somewhere else.
Somebody else would come up, yeah.
Because you can't hardly pour concrete by yourself.
In essence, the job is a diversion. It's mm-hmm. something you don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can do when you want. Pick your time and your place.
Yeah.
Were you ever a trapper?
No. No, I never got mixed up in that at all. But I always used to like to go fishing and hunting.
And
I think I care more about the trip of going hunting than the hunting. I like to go camping. And if I got a deer, that's all right. If I didn't, that didn't matter. Because
you still do that? Do you still go out upon occasion?
I don't anymore, no.
How come?
Well,
just age?
I think it would be wasteful for me to go shoot a deer. I don't know what I do with it. With most of it.
Yeah. How today do you spend your day? What do you do? What is an average day for Denny Bigger?
Well, get up and get breakfast and look around. I always go down and see how many boats are over here just because I'm nosy, I guess.
You're an early riser?
Yeah, I always have been.
How early? What are we talking about? What's early?
Oh, by 4 o'clock I'm usually up.
And I know you're a basketball fan, which
drink
means
coffee until for an hour or two and then get breakfast. Yeah, I like to listen to basketball games, especially when they play back east when it's early here.
Well, if you're getting up that early, you're probably going to bed at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, I go to bed and read.
People down Lake probably don't understand. Where does your reading material come from? What do you read and why?
Well, any books I get a hold of, but I get Time magazine every week, and I get the PI 6 days a week. So that keeps me going. And Schwartz's bring up a lot of books, too. I go and sort through what they got every once in a while.
When the boat's running on 7 days a week, do they stop at your place 7 days a week?
No. Well, I don't want them to because I don't want to go down to the lake 3 times a week just to get mail. I get Monday, Wednesday, and Friday year-round.
So you don't want to go down 7 days a week. You go down 3 days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, year-round, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes no difference. Sometimes I'm working up on the hill and I don't want to quit and run clear down to the lake to get couple of newspapers.
Yeah. Does you and Gordon both, when I've heard you talking together, are fairly versed on current events. Do you enjoy discussion of current events? I know you enjoy politics, discussion of politics. I know that part. But
yeah, I listen a lot to KGO in Oakland and their talk shows. When they've got a good guy on it.
Whenever I wake up in the night, I turn that on. See what they're arguing about. Denny, what's your full name?
Nobody ever heard of it. It's Kenwald Dinsmore Beer.
I heard the third back there somewhere. Is that true?
Hmm?
Are you Kenwald Dinsmore Bigger the third?
No.
Somebody must be embellishing the story then.
Yeah.
Well,
Kenwald never shows up except on my life insurance policy.
Talk about family. You're up here 12, 13 years without even going down lake. You have family somewhere?
Well, just I had a brother and a sister. My brother died, but my sister's still living in Kent. See, she's the one that was at She was married to Green, and they were at Middle Creek there. And mm-hmm. It was her that had the three kids over here in school.
Single man up lake, no apparent attachments and those kinds of things. Any romantic involvement someplace along the line up here?
No, I avoided all that.
How come? Is that a bad question?
No, I was kind of over that stage by the time I come up here.
You ever thought about that? You ever miss wife, kids?
I think it's normal. Like, I should have some, but too late now.
Yeah. Let's see. Earlier you said you hadn't been to Stehekin since the Park Service took over. Does that bother you?
No.
Does the Park Service bother you?
No. It may bother the people who live up there, but it don't bother me.
You follow those kinds of things? Do you follow local news? You follow, do you listen to the radio? Do you listen to me on the radio?
Yeah, I can't hear you in early morning, but at noon I can hear everything goes on down there.
You follow that pretty regular?
Yeah, I do. I listen to them today.
Anything going on today that I missed?
No, I was just trying to find out if you were on the radio or if you were up the lake. They didn't say, but you weren't on the radio, so I thought you probably were.
And here we are. I was surprised to learn you've only been to Domke how many times?
I've only been up there 3 or 4 times.
Does it seem odd to you that within 3 or 4 miles from your house, you've only been there once or twice? Is that 3 or 4, whatever?
No, because if I lived here, I'd probably go up there frequently, but when it's a case of getting across the lake too, then it makes a difference.
When you were coming back and forth across the lake for Friday nightclubs every week, that's more than you came across in the summertime, certainly.
Well, no, we used to be here at the tavern one afternoon a week in the summertime. Gordon didn't have to come down then. I don't know, I guess he just come down because he wanted to, because I think Ernie flew his mail in and everything he needed up there. He didn't really have to come down for anything.
Gordon Stewart is almost a legend.
Hmm?
He's almost a legend. Would you agree with that? How come?
Well, just because he's been here so long.
He considers you, in fact, I talked to him today, he said, what does that man know? He's only been here since 1945.
Yeah.
He considers you, I think, a short
time.
Well,
I guess he's right. On both counts.
How long's he been here? He won't talk to us. How long's he been here?
Gordon?
Yeah.
Well, he told me he came here when he was 21. And he was born in 1905.
So, 50 plus years.
Yeah.
What do you know about him?
Well, he worked in cattle ranches in Oregon before he came here.
Why did he come here?
Well, he wanted to get wrapped up in trapping. In fact, I guess he was doing some of that down there when he could. But he wound up here and made some deal with old man Cool to run Cool's trap line for a percentage of the hides for so many years, and then it belonged to Gordon. That was over in Snowbrush. He trapped over at a cabin down there. So Gordon wound up with Cool's trap line. He was happy with it. That's what he wanted to start with.
The trapping experience is, you come you go trap, and then once a year you go to Wenatchee or somewhere and sell your hides, and it's kind of a, if I read it right, it's a kind of a hit or miss deal.
Well, it is, but I guess it, there were times it was pretty good. Gordon used to be the only man in the country who had any money.
Is that right? Let's talk about that a little bit. People borrow money from him, and did he go to the?
He probably wouldn't want you to talk about it, but he loaned the boat company enough money to pay their gas bill once. Hmm. Got it back, I suppose.
Talk about the boat company. You came here in 1945. Who was the boat company owned by?
Well, George Pennell was a major owner, and who in the heck is the guy that was running Union Oil? Maybe he still does. He was once a mayor of Chelan. Dick Warden.
Mm-hmm.
He owned a part of it. And then the odd party was changed hands two or three times. It wound up, I think, some of the Griffith family up in Manson.
The boat company's your lifeline. You follow their...
Well, it has to be. Without them, we'd have to move.
Do you follow their operations fairly closely and are concerned about the directions and that management direction, those kinds of things?
No, I don't care about who manages it, just so they...
Get my mail there.
mail and the stuff I ordered. And they've always done pretty well, I thought. I don't think they ever missed a day of coming up. Sometimes they'd be, used to be awful late sometimes, but even that don't seem to happen anymore. Huh. I used to have a time when I was driving the bus. I had to meet the boat there and take the mail up the hill and then get back down here to take a crew to work to leave here at 2:15. And sometimes the boat would be so damn late getting in here that I couldn't hardly get back here in time to catch the next bunch who was supposed to go to work. Not enough to bother.
Hmm. When I come up in the middle of the wintertime and there's snow up to my crotch and I'm pushing through snowdrifts, which has only happened twice, I guess, in 12 or 13 years, I think about people like you and Gordon and other people that have lived here in the past, and I got to think it's really tough. And you seem to think it's not tough at all, that's just normal. That's just because you're here, I suppose.
Yeah, so.
The day-to-day living of it all is, your life is no different than ours. I get up whenever I get up and go to work, and you get up whenever you go to work and do your work, too. Let's go back to the Stehekin situation. You said you haven't been there since the Park Service. You said there's nothing to go there for. Would you have gone there had the Forest Service been involved?
Well, not really. That didn't have anything to do with it. But